This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Who really is Jesus Christ? We can learn about his life and his ministry from books and movies written about him. We can visit with others who claim to know about him. But how can we tangibly know who Jesus Christ was and what he came to do? Stay with us today as we learn about Jesus from his autobiography.
Did you know that Jesus gives us an autobiography of his life that answers many questions about what he came to do and who he really is? We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give our thanks to you that you have made it very clear in your word that you have come to seek and to save that which was lost. You have come to tell us that you are the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You have come to tell us that you have provided a place for us in the kingdom of heaven if we would trust you. And you have also reminded us that you will never forsake us, nor will you leave us, if we are a part of your fold. Grant, O God, that we may faithfully listen to you in what you have to say. Amen. Friends in Christ, through the last 2,000 years, there have been thousands of papers and multitudes of books written on the life and the works of Jesus. But the most authentic autobiography and biography of his life and person is found in the Bible. In today's text, Jesus talks about his life, who he is, and what his mission is all about. Let me read you this text. It is found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly, that we might know." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. And the Father and I are one." We can see here that Jesus and the Father are one. Here he has given you a part of his autobiography. He wants us to know that he is more than a man. He is more than an instructor, more than a teacher, but he and the Father are one. I and the Father are one because you can see what miraculous things I am able to do. And so he suggests that we turn to the miracles, and there we will find that only God could do some of the things that he was doing. You remember that miracle where he came to the town of Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived? Lazarus had died, and Jesus was not very far away, so Martha sent word that he should come. But it was 3 or 4 days before Jesus came, and Martha was a little bit disgusted with him. She thought he could give more attention to this good friend of his. But then Martha had the delight of going out on the road and watching for him, and here he comes. When Jesus gets into her presence, she says to him, "Lazarus is dead." And Jesus replied, "Your brother shall rise again." And Martha said, "Look, I know that he will rise in the last days, but really I want him right now." And then Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet she lived. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I do. But can't we have him?" Then they went out to the tomb together. And it had been 4 days since he was placed in that tomb, and the body had begun to give off odor. Was it possible then that Jesus could do anything for her? He walked into the tomb, and then he cried out, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. There he was. Now in our text today, he says, "I gave you these miracles, but you don't believe them." Maybe you don't believe this particular miracle because you weren't there, but there were many, many others. But let's take this just one miracle. Wouldn't it be pretty hard for any person to stand by that tomb and see a man who was declared dead come walking out and was restored and returned to live with his sisters? This is what he meant when he said, "I have been very specific in telling you that I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world." Notice right here in verse 30 of our text, "I and the Father are one." Or in verse 25, "I do the things that my Father gave me to do, for my sheep know me, and I am one of his sheep." So this is one example of a miracle that Jesus performed in order that he could declare to them in his autobiography that he truly was the Son of God. Let's take another one. Here is a case, for example, of talking about being a sheep. And it is only if you are a sheep that you can really understand what Jesus is saying when he calls himself God and one with the Father. He says here, those who hear my voice and follow me, they are mine. I will never leave them, nor will I ever forsake them. But the question could well be, well, then who are the sheep? It is an interesting thing to notice all the way through the Gospels that there is an appeal that is being made. For example, the simplest of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not bring his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be made through him. They hear his voice, and they follow him. The one who takes the gospel that is presented to him and believes it in his heart, that person is the sheep. For the shepherd has spoken to him. That's how you become a sheep, by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. And that is so often true. For God so loved the world. But you have to believe. And then you are the sheep. That's one of the great blessings of being a child of God. That hear Jesus say, the going is rough, but I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Another great blessing is to hear Jesus say, I've gone to prepare a place for you. There is a heavenly home. There is a place where he can say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, what I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then I quote again, because I am the way and the truth and the life. Big statement now. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, friend, unless we have received Jesus Christ, that doesn't make much sense to us. I know I often look around when I'm in a ball game, watching that crowd of which I am a part. Sometimes 15, 20, 50, 75,000 people. And yet, no one is going to know Jesus unless they have received him. That says, according to Jesus' own words, his autobiography, there is no other way to heaven but in Jesus Christ. Then he's going to walk with us, and he's going to talk with us. That's our blessed Savior, according to his autobiography. He was born in Bethlehem. That's a human birth. His mother was Mary, born a virgin. His caregiver, father in that sense of the word, was Joseph. That has some mysteries to it also. Because the man who is not a believer can hardly believe that Jesus was impregnated without a man. But when you and I have met him in the autobiography, then we understand that whatever God chooses to do, he can do. And so on that particular day, he did give Mary that gracious privilege to become the mother of God. And Joseph cared for him for a while. That's the way it was. But then when he was at the age of 30, he came out, you may say. I am the promised Messiah. And the person who knows him in a personal way can understand it. But those in Nazareth who did not understand him as Savior and Lord were really ready to kill him. So we see the miracles as a way that he reveals himself, and then giving us a chance to become a part of that personal relationship, and then also having many of these sessions with him. Let's take the disciples, who one day was out on the Mount of Olives and they were with Jesus. This was after his resurrection. And this is probably when he said, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, what does that really mean? He's telling them, Peter, James, John, and all the other 11, that my job for you is to bring that message of salvation to the far corners of the earth. And when it is time for you to leave this world, then you have brought others to the place where they are to be my spokespeople also. And so the disciples didn't quite understand it until some 10 days or more later after the ascension. It was Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came to those who knew him and said, look, your task now is to go and bring that gospel to the people in this area, and my church will be established. So the disciples after Pentecost went out. Peter had preached that tremendous sermon on Pentecost Sunday. 3,000 people believed there. And they further went into the hinterlands. Some of them went far off into Europe. Then we have the great Apostle Paul who came. And he preached the gospel. Established all kinds of churches. Would then stay in contact with them and write to them about their ills and that God was with them. Or if there was some, like in the city of Corinth, who were not being obedient to the word of God. This person was told in the autobiography of Jesus that he was to go into those churches and reprimand them where he had to and comfort them and to inspire them where he had to. Because people could fall away. They could fall away. But Jesus would not have them taken out of his hand, he says, because if you will but turn to me in those hours when you think this is of no value anymore, then I will establish you in the faith again. This is our Savior. Now, I began by saying that there are many hundreds, thousands of books that have been written on Jesus in these last 2,000 years. Many of them are great books, and those you should try to read at least some of them. There is a book that I had given to me by my father and mother when I was in the seminary, written by Adersheim, The Life and Times of Jesus. One continually goes back to a book like that. For these people who are students of the Word of God in a real sense of the word, not simply in the practical ministry, have been able to dig into all of the facts and the figures that come along with Jesus. What was this all about when he was 12 years of age? And he was in Jerusalem. And they found him in the temple talking with the theologians of the day. Many of those things that they were talking about in those days, these people did not understand, but they were learning. They were learning from the theologians. And so with these good books that we have, we can learn there too. And then there are some books about Jesus and papers about Jesus that are more simple. Ada Schreims is that kind, and therefore I could understand it. There are good books that are coming out every day from those who love him. And they sit in their studies and they write and write in order that you and I may know him better. As biographers, and there's a difference between the autobiography. Jesus alone could do that. But the biographer, yes, that was the apostle. So read the epistles of Paul and James and John and all the rest. But go to some of these other books and let them be a part of your library too. And then just stop and think how he has revealed himself to his own preaching. Even in our day, when those who are not as adequate come with their stories and tell of the Savior and what he has done for people as we have met them and talked with them. We are not alone, friend. We are not ignorant of what Jesus has done for us. We are not ignorant of who he really is. Turn to that Son of God, and there you will find, from the autobiography of Jesus Christ, that he is all that you know him to be, if you are one of his sheep. And if you are not one of his sheep, he is anxious to use his autobiography to tell you that if you but humble and bow before the throne of grace, he will be your Lord. Amen.
His eye is
Father in heaven, we thank you that there are some mysteries that are going to come to us when we enter the heavenly home. But we thank you also that while we are here, that you have told us enough through your autobiography and also through the biographies of who you really are, why you came. Grant, O God, that we may not bother our minds too much with some of these other writings on Jesus that want to make him less than he is, simply a man, a good man, but simply a man. No, God, let us not have that, but grant that we may know that he is truly the divine man who walked among us. Hear us, O God, as we pray that prayer you have taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has helped you to know Jesus better and turn to him as your shepherd, knowing he will never leave you or forsake you. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard not only on 23 radio stations across the United States, but also on shortwave radio across North America and Europe. We encourage you, if you are listening to our program on shortwave radio, to drop us a line, letting us know which part of the world you are listening. You can listen to or read today's service or past services anytime on the internet. Hundreds of Christian Crusaders sermons are listed by date and subject matter. Our website also offers spiritual helps, including a daily devotion. Simply log on to ChristianCrusaders.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. You may address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.